Good morning, church. We're certainly thankful that we can come together in this way and that we can worship the Lord, hear a lesson from His Word. I hope that you were able to get together with a few people this morning and discuss what the Lord has done for us. This morning, Brother Jack Dyer will have the lesson for us. Brother Chris Crossland is going to have a reading prior to his lesson. I don't really have anything, know of any serious things going on, such as illnesses and so on. I'm very thankful and prayerful that, at least the Gregory group, I don't know of anybody that's has this virus, maybe some other things, but I might also remind you that, if we lose the signal, and it goes off, I will start it up and just, as soon as I can. I believe the problem last week was I noticed that the lights flickered in the church building, and it was shortly after that that we lost the signal. So if anything like that happens, we'll put part two on. Anyway, let's have a prayer this morning. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can set aside this day to worship You, to think about the things that You want for us in this life and in the future life, and how fortunate we are to be Your children, because You have prepared for us a place where there will be no more tears and where everything, there will be no sickness, there will be no more death. We're so thankful that Jesus, You sent Jesus, Your Son, to earth, that we would have the hope of a home in heaven. And that Jesus was so willing to die for us while we were sinners and so undeserving. And we're so thankful for the grace that's been afforded to us. As we hear this lesson this morning, let's determine what we might take from it that will be useful for us this coming days of our life. We are thankful that we have families and loved ones and brothers and sisters in Christ to uphold us during this time of separation and not being able to assemble. And we pray Your continued blessings on each and every one. We're thankful that we could come together in this way. We give You praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Chris Crossland will have a reading for us for Jack's lesson.
Good morning. We will be reading from 2 Corinthians today, chapters 1 and 2. Chapter 1, we will start in verse 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by the Lord. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons up on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Picking up in chapter 2, in verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ amongst those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other the oil of life leading to life, and who is sufficient for these things. For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ.
Good morning. Things are just a little bit different than normal. If you see behind me, you will see that I am in Paul's house. I don't have a overhead. And for Paul's sake, I didn't bring my snake in. You know, so my lesson's a little bit different than what I normally give. No, I don't always have snakes, but I did have a history of always having a bag of some illustration, and I was afraid that with illustrations that I would not do a good job of really showing what I'm trying to say. But this day of pandemic has taught us a number of things. And one of those things is that people make all sorts of claims. And some of them are partially true, and some of them are have just an element of this and a little bit of that. So it's important that whether we're talking about pandemic or we're talking about the scripture, that we go to an authoritative source, a reliable source, to learn what is the truth of the matter. The source to discover the blessings in Christ is what we're going to be looking at this morning. The blessings in Christ. Now, when we're talking about false claims, one of the false claims that a person of religion has made is that this pandemic is God's punishment for sin, for removing God from the classroom, for liberalization or liberalizing of society. Proclaimers of this thought cite Old Testament passages. And I'm not to deny that as a possibility, but those Old Testament passages that are often cited are to the children of Israel in a particular time, and they were to have physical blessings and promises that were given to them by God. Nowhere in the pages of the New Testament do we find the teaching or the concept of physical curses because of national regression. Rather, as we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's the American Standard Version or King James Version. ESV, New King James Version, NIV all say he shows no partiality. No partiality at all. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Jesus himself dealt with this topic of nationalism and accountability for sin. John chapter 9, the man that was born blind. Jesus asked, who do you think? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? Where did the sin come from that caused this man to be born blind? And answer was, none of the above. It was for God's glory to be shown. Turn with me real quick for Luke chapter 13 and verses 1 through 5. Luke chapter 13, 1 through 5. Again, here Jesus is referring to this same topic of God's punishment for sin. Luke chapter 13. I'll be using the ESV version. He says, there were some present at that time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered him, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What I'm saying is that when we make these claims that especially coming, pulling from the Old Testament, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Because there is no nationality in Christ. There's neither Jew nor there's neither Greek. Neither male nor female. We are one in Christ. There's another claim that's made that God caused this pandemic because God is withholding His blessings for one reason or another. Man, that makes God sound bad, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through 34 does not hold that view. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the sparrow. God takes care of the grass. That grass that I mow each week and then get rid of. God takes care of that. Aren't you more important to God than grass? So, Matthew chapter 5 verse 44 says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Here's what we want to know. "For He makes the sun to shine, to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends the rains on the just and the unjust." So what am I trying to say? Because a person is inflicted with this virus does not mean that they're any worse off with God than anybody else. "Unless you all repent, you shall likewise perish." There's another claim that's been made, and I was talking to Randy Techmeyer about this the other day, and it was, this pandemic would be over if only believers would pray. Well, we're commanded to pray, aren't we? We're commanded to pray, and that's a fact. One person's gone so far as to say that if only 100 believers, if only 1,000 believers would pray to God to release us from this pandemic, it would be over. Really? Really? Where do we get this concept from? Did God remove the pain and the suffering of Job? Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, prayed three times, for the stone in the flesh to be removed from him. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Maybe we need to think about this a little bit more. James chapter 5, verses 16 and following, recounts that the prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. A single righteous man, Elijah, prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, no rain fell upon the earth. None. He prayed again and heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. It was not the number of people that were praying. It was the character of the heart of the one who prayed. There's other claims, and you've heard them, and I can't address them all. One claimed that one could be healed by the anointing of sacred oil. Doesn't that sound good? Therefore, seeking and reputable sources for our information is a necessity. It's not only a good thing, it is a necessity that we understand the source of the information that we're being presented. What an introduction. That's not the lesson. That was the introduction. If I had my whiteboard here, I would write 7 passages for you. I would like to look at 7 passages, briefly comment on them, and then we'll go on. The first passage is found in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We call these the actual blessings in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 3 of the book of Ephesians says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with some spiritual blessings in our temporal beings." Is that the way your Bible reads? That's not the way mine reads. Mine reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." In the heavenly places. No, that does not mean that God is going to make every believer a Bill Gates. Yes, he did enrich Abraham, Job, and others, Solomon, above other men. But there is no promise that if we believe in Christ, we will become wealthy. Well, that's some things that people kind of put out there. No matter how many televangelists say it, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Wow. It's important. Because as we are in this pandemic, as we are in this problem, it's important for us to understand that those blessings that we have can't be stolen. They can't be corroded. I think Peter talked about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. That they're imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. For those who by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow. This is proven and it's testified by the Holy Spirit that is within us, who is our guarantee, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, of this blessing that Paul says we have in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. What a blessing! The stock market's not going to erode it. Sickness can't corrupt it. And death cannot take it away. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Passage number 2. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It's a familiar passage, and you could probably quote it to me. "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence." Did you see that? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. In His dealings with His chosen people, God has laid down a lot of principles that, did you realize that He gave the principles of sanitation, cleanliness, social distancing? Wow. The measures in place today are not new. They're principles from God's own pages. "Nevertheless, beyond the physical, God taught His chosen people how to live by faith and how to be pleasing to Him. It's all contained in His Word. No additional revelation, no great extravaganza is needed." What a blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's go on to a third thought. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We look at this passage quite often, but let's look at one verse. Chapter 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you at all..." Pull that, Jack. Let's read it again. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound in every good work." Did you catch those alls? So that you may have all sufficiency, that you may at all times, you may abound in every good work. God does not give anyone the impossible task to complete. But he gives the means to accomplish it. When God commanded Abraham to offer up his son and then pulled him away from that, what did he do? Did God just pat Abraham on the back and say, "You done good, you proved your faith, goodbye"? No. He provided a young ram for his sacrifice. Can you imagine that God commanded Noah to build an ark out of gopher wood, but there's no such wood available? I know oak, I know pinyon, I know, but gopher wood? No. He gave us the ability to accomplish what he has set out. And so we read in Romans chapter 12, he has given us talents, each of us in the body, different talents that we might strengthen and build up the body. We are to use them as God has given us. During times of an uncertainty, it's easy to get caught up into the negative, I can't even say the word, the negativism of the media and the hysteria and the politics of the day. However, God would have his people to what? What was in that passage again? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 8. It was abound in every good work. The first century church did exactly that. The people held them, according to what Luke, the historian, wrote in Acts chapter 5 and verse 13, held them in high esteem because of their service one to another. Paul commanded the Galatians, "Do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap if we do not give up." So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those of the household of faith, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Turn with me real quick, and this is not one of the passages that I wanted to share with you, but turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. Chapter 7, verse 11 of Matthew. "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" What a blessing. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Number four. You know, a good person would be able to make an acronym out of these seven thoughts. I just don't have that skill. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 18 through 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. "Surely, as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes, yet, yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but always in him it is yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why through him we utter amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." There again we see the guarantee. He establishes us. He has anointed us. He has put his seal on us. Man, the trustworthiness, the faithfulness of God to fulfill his promises.
Remember, there is a certain thing called rainbow. Why do we have the rainbow?
It reminds us that God made a promise. He will never again, never again, destroy the earth with water.
That's why he put the bow in the sky, to remind us of that promise.
God keeps his promises. Joshua chapter 21, verse 46 says, not a word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. Not a single one. All came to pass. Wow. We find that it is him, the Creator, who establishes together us together with Christ. He anointed us. He has put his seal on us. We can have confidence in who he is. What a blessing. Number four. Our fifth thought comes from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'll give you a moment to turn to that page. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to pick up our reading in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. Okay, Paul's talking about his humility. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Whoa. There's a lot said in that passage. There's a lot said in that passage, but I really want to highlight the thought of to know the love of Christ. There's a lot of people talking about love these days. Love is the answer to everything. Love, 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 love. But the truth is, you don't know Christ, you don't know love. Paul says we have that blessing to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That we may be filled with the fullness, correction, Jack, all the fullness that is of God. Now to him that is able to do more abundantly than all that we can think or ask according to the power that is within us, in him. We don't have to rely on our own strength. We don't have to rely on our own knowledge. We don't have to rely on the medicines that we might be able to conjure up. To him be the glory, because it's in him we know the love of Christ that surpasses the knowledge. You know, as I was writing my notes here, I saw that spell checker popped up on me. Spell checker, you know how that is on your computer, on your phone, or your device. It comes up at the most inconvenient time and tells you something you don't want to know. But here was important. Are filled. See that? Ephesians chapter 4. Are filled is a passive voice with God's goodness. What a promise. What a blessing. Two more. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9. We usually talk about whatever is honorable, whatever is just, verse 8, right? whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, etc. If there's any excellence, if there's anything, all that's in verse 8. Let's read verse 9. And what you have learned and heard and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And, catch it? And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Here is the work of the believer in Christ. Follow him as the apostles did. The reward, a promise of blessing. The God of peace. Worry? Oh, God. Was that Alfred E. Newman used to say? Worry? Who, me? I think he had a different thought in his mind. But we have peace. The peace of God is with us. We don't suffer the anxiety of the pandemic. We know and live showing I'm in control. No? That's not what it says? We know and live showing that God is in control of our lives, of our actions, of our daily existence. One more passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. So let no one boast in men. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all is yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let no man boast. Writing to the Romans in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul wrote, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you became," what? "Slaves of righteousness." To the Corinthians, Paul is saying, you do not belong to Jack. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to God. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. We have ownership. He is our owner. The blessing is that we belong to Christ. And as a slave seeks to please his master, so we seek to praise and glorify, or please and glorify our master. This passage from 1 Corinthians shows that ownership. That stamp that is upon us, that is sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are not our own, but we've been bought with a price. It is His will that should be done. Or as Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Can we all say that? Can we say that? All things are yours. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. Well, those are the seven passages that I want to share with you. The next thought is that these blessings are not the result of immaculate conception. These blessings are only found in one place, in Christ. We need to be warned. We need to be leery of those who, not to fall prey to those who are taking advantage of the pandemic to prey on the hearts and the minds of men, and of those who do not know God. Or as Paul told the Ephesians, do not be tossed around by every wave and wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man. Remember that first passage we read? All right, I think it was actually
the passage that Chris read a few moments ago. Our way is different. Our way is different. We are not seeking what we can gain. We're not trying to please yourself or have to solve your itching ears. Because life in Christ is a life to our Master. Do not be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. Know that these blessings are found in Christ, only in Christ. So there's a note that we need to make sure that we understand, and that these blessings are only available for those who are in Christ. They're not promised to all of mankind. They're not promised to one nationality or one group of people. It's not to the rich and it's not to the poor. It is to those who are in Christ. To those who hear the good news of Jesus, of His redeeming sacrifice. To those who believe in Him. Those who repent. Oh, I think we talked about repentance a little bit earlier. And Jesus said something, unless you all repent, you shall likewise perish. To repent of their sins and turn to God. It is, those blessings are offered to those who confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and who in obedience of faith are immersed, buried with Christ, to rise and walk in newness of life. We only come to Jesus when we're buried with Him. We only put Him on, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, when we are baptized with Him. It is through the obedience of faith, through baptism, that we appeal to God for a clear conscience. Put the trash out. Come to God. That's the message I'd like to leave you with this morning. Once again, we find ourselves under restrictions that are put in place to control the spread of the virus. Let us remember who is really in control. If you have a further need to study, an aid to be immersed in Christ, or prayers for reunion to your Master, call one of the members, call the elders, and we will assist you. This morning I want to leave you with those thoughts, that some things you just don't have to worry about. Just don't have to worry about, because God's got it. And we are God's, if we love Him and obey His commandments. The message is yours, and if there's anything that we can do, be sure and let us know. Let us conclude with a word of prayer. Dear my Father, as we have looked into Your Word, we see that there are some things that we can hold on to. We can put as an anchor, Heavenly Father, in our lives. And when the winds assail us, when temptations tempt us, when problems arise, that anchor is You. It is that hope of salvation, Heavenly Father, that You have given us. It is that promise, Heavenly Father, that You will be with us. It is those blessings that You put before us. Father, we pray that You be with each and every member of the body. And Heavenly Father, of those who are not of the body, that they will look to You. We pray that through this pandemic, Heavenly Father, that You'll be glorified, and that, Heavenly Father, Your church will be strengthened. Through Jesus, Your Son, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jack. I'll just say that we will have another video Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Not real sure who's going to do that yet, but we will have a video on Wednesday. May God bless you and keep you.